Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the things that we're doing this year is we are going back to the ancient church. And when I say the ancient church, we're going back to 100-200 AD. And every Sunday in Lent has a word that we work with. And today, if we did the full intro for today, I cut it out because of the time, is it starts with remember. And so this is reminisciere Sunday in Latin. Why is it remembering so important? Well, first of all, in the Latin form, it's an imperative. So how do I explain an imperative? My mom always wore glasses. And you knew you were in trouble when the glasses came down. Any of you have parents like that? And it was one of those, you will do this. Okay, I'll do this. That's an imperative. Now, Jesus gave us imperatives too. And this imperative comes from Psalm 25. And here's what I'd like to talk about this, is Psalm 25 starting with verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Christianity is not one of those things that's for the elite. It's for the common people. In fact, Christianity in the old ancient world started among the slaves. It's a slave's religion. How many of you knew that? And that's why Christianity is so important, and why we've modeled a church this way, is we are a bottom-up church, not a top-down church. Okay, why? Because it's the people who are important. We don't have an Episcopal structure. Nobody's going to walk through the door and say, you have to do it this way. As long as we follow the Bible, then we're okay. But not only does this apply to our theme today, but don't you think that applied to Jerry too? You know, remember me, O Lord, for your steadfast love. You know, after knowing Jerry, I know she felt that way. A life pleasing to God, and I thought this was good. This is from 1 Thessalonians. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Now, sanctification is one of those words we use in the church. It has a big meaning. It means to be made holy. So the instructions there from Paul are, we're to live a holy life. Does that sound like Jerry to you? I think so too. And I think it's important. Jerry was one of the most ethical women I've ever met, but she was one of the most loving people I'd ever met. The Greeks had five different words for love. But the important word is agape, okay? Agape means a forgiving love that has sacrifice in it. Does that sound like Jerry? Doing something for other people, okay? It's one of those, there's no bounds to the love, nothing's going to keep it there, but it's what you do for other people. Now, when Jesus died on that cross, didn't he do the same thing, a sacrifice for all of us? But he was also under an obligation that he had to go there. But he fulfilled it for us, didn't he? I think so. (Clears throat) Warren, I have to admit, I don't know your mother as much as you did. I've only been here 2 years. But I can tell you that every time I went to see her, she talked about you. She loved you. And it was surprising because she mentioned the girls a few times, but she always talked about you. I think she loved you with all of her heart. And I think it's because of her you grew into the man that you are today, both from her and Warren Sr. They were always there for you, weren't they? They were. But from what I've been told, Jerry was there for all of us who are here today. I mean, look at you, you came here for her, didn't you? Listen, you wouldn't do that unless she was here for you. Today, we're here to celebrate the joy of her life. But is it because she died? Think about that for a second. What is death? Death is graduation day. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, when you finish high school, you've completed something, you're ready for the next big adventure, right? So, death is the same thing. We finished our life here, and we're ready for life stage two, eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Now, I know that there are those naysayers out there that say, oh, there's not such a thing as eternal life. I'd like to point you, and I've talked to this to my congregation, there's a series of books by Dr. Raymond Moody. Dr. Moody was an emergency room physician. And as he was there, he had people who had NDEs. They're called near-death experiences. And what he started to do, he was not a believer at the beginning, he started documenting what these people who had an NDE said. And many of them went to heaven. Of course, you know, there's all the people that say, well, that's just the synapses firing in the brain. Well, not everybody went up. Some people went down. In fact, he had one man that was dying. They bring him back. He'd die again. They bring him back and things. Finally, the guy said to him, Doc, you can't quit on me. And he said, what's the matter? He says, I'm in hell when I die. He says, you got to save me. Guy went on to become a minister. Okay. Ray Moody, by the time everything was done, ended up becoming a very staunch believer. And the books are called Life After Life. And there's probably four or five, but it's these stories of the people that he documented who had died and then came back. And I find it very interesting that, you know, we can sit here and talk about all this esoteric stuff, you know, the ghostly, the spiritual stuff, but when we can look at somebody who has documented it, who's a scientist, I think it speaks pretty well for us, doesn't it? Einstein, Albert Einstein, theory of relativity, came out and said that because of the math, there had to be a creator. Now, he was a Jew, not practicing, but he believed in a creator. When I started my first time at college, it was an aerospace tech major. Physics 101. Can still remember Dr. McMillan talking to us. How'd the universe start? Well, I was a public school, University of Nebraska at Omaha. And we said, well, there was a Big Bang. He said, okay, where'd it come from? Well, there's a couple theories. One, that two universes, you know, rubbed together, created ours. Or there was a huge antimatter explosion. He said, okay, where'd it come from? Every time we came up with something, he said, where'd it come from? And by the time we got to the point where we couldn't say anything anymore, he said to us, you just made the argument for a creator. And that's when I learned about Albert Einstein, made the argument there had to be a creator. I mean, look around you. Where'd it come from? Make sense? So when we talk about eternal life, Jesus earned that for us on the cross. Because we know that there's a creator. We know that there's a redeemer, and we know there's a sanctifier. And I think that's a pretty good story for us today, isn't it? Now I'm going to share with you one more story. my people have heard this before, so I apologize, but I think it's great. I come from a Russian-German family, and my people here know that I speak Russian and I speak German. But my grandfather's older sister was named Elizabeth Stoliker Reichel. Mouthful. All right, it's about Aunt Lizzie for you folks who've been here, but I think it's a good story. She was 98 and 8 months, almost 99 years old, who was still farming 150 acres in Rochester, Minnesota. And there's no bull. She was out cutting hay. And if you've ever worked on a farm, you know that rocks will work their way out of the ground. Anyway, she was on a hill, rock had come out, hit the tire of the tractor, hit the rock, overturned on her. I got a call from her daughter, Lottie, and Lottie was 77 years old. And she said, Mom's pretty badly broken up. She explained what had happened. And she's probably not gonna make it from the night. Well, I lived in Omaha, it was about 8 hours to get to Rochester. And I said, all right, we'll get in the car and we'll be up. And she said, no, Mom wants to talk to you. And I got on the phone and I said, Aunt Lizzie, how you doing? Now you gotta understand, she was born in Russia, had a real strong accent. And I said, we're coming up. She said, don't come. But Aunt Lizzie, they said you're gonna die. Yeah, isn't it great? I don't know about you, but I sure didn't expect to hear that. And I won't do the accent anymore, but you get an idea of what this was like. And so I said to her, well, don't you want us to come? And she said, no. I outlived my husband. I outlived most of my friends. I outlived most of my children. I had a great life, and I'm ready to go home and be with Jesus. I love you. And she hung up the phone. You know, so I'm sitting here with the phone like this, and she got her wish that night. She passed away. But she was ready for that next great event in her life, which was eternal life. The same thing that happened to your mom a week ago. Well, it's a little more than a week ago now, but we get the idea. It's the same thing that's going to happen to all of you. Isn't that a great blessing to look forward to? When I was in Cincinnati, I worked at the VA a lot during my vicarage years. That's when you're a practice pastor. And the people that were believers, it was so interesting that I sat with so many people who passed on into the next stage. And most of the believers went on with a big smile on their face, reaching. I don't know about you, but that tells me there's something else there. And I come to this from a scientific background, but I believe wholeheartedly that all of us will see Jerry again. And as Aunt Lizzie would have said, ain't it great? Let us pray. Let us remember that this promise of everlasting life will keep our hearts and minds on our Lord and Savior until the day we meet with Him in heaven. Amen.